Here is what we affirm as our faith, as found in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, the 14th through the 16th verses. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The Scripture emphasizes sonship because back in that day, the sons were the ones who inherited property. So as sons of God, all of us, male and female, will inherit the kingdom. That's why it says sonship and why we retain that word in God's word. The reading of God's word for the message this Sunday, Palm Sunday, March 29th, 2015, is from Mark's Gospel, the first 10 verses, wherein we read, as they approached Jerusalem, and this would be Jesus and the disciples, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this, tell him, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest! Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. As a church that wants to be Bible-based, we look at the Bible every Sunday. It is the basis of our worship. It is God's instruction book. God gives life, and along with the gift comes instructions. However, there is another reason that we look at the Bible. The Bible also tells us what God is doing. You might even say that the Bible is God's to-do list. The Lord tells us what he is doing, and the Lord tells us what he wants to do, and the Lord tells us what the Lord intends to do. We like to remind ourselves that God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us. And some of God's plans are outlined here in God's book, the Bible. The Bible isn't about things that happened long ago. Oh, there's plenty of that in there. But we could say that the Bible is an agenda, and God is working God's agenda. God intends to redeem his creation. God intends to save this world. God intends to bring his kingdom right to you. Palm Sunday is the day that we see the clash of God's agenda with man's agenda. And some say that it was the clash of agendas that brought about Jesus' death. Remember that Jesus is on God's agenda. God intends to save us. And God is going to do what God has to do to save us. And to save us will require the death of God's Son, Jesus. Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing what awaited him there. Jesus even described a number of events that would take place and described that to the disciples. But the disciples had trouble hearing it. Peter was the first to protest. So we are prepared for what's going to happen in Jerusalem as we read it. Jesus, God's Son, has an agenda, and Jesus' people had a different agenda. We've been talking this season about restoration. One part of the Lord's agenda we've been noticing this season is restoration. Jesus came to restore what was broken in our world. Lives, broken hearts, broken health, broken minds, broken relationships with the Heavenly Father, broken relationships with one another. Judas broke fellowship with Jesus and the disciples. The disciples broke fellowship with Jesus. Jesus restored that relationship. Jesus restored the 11 disciples to their place in Jesus' plan for them. This season, Daleville Christian Church looks at Jesus restoring and healing what was broken because Jesus came to restore us also. Jesus came to restore us in all the ways we need restoration. So what is broken and what needed restoring on that Palm Sunday so long ago in the city of Jerusalem? Well, if we read the Bible carefully, we'll discover what was broken and what would be restored. As we look at today's verses, notice what the people say. Hosanna, a Hebrew expression meaning save or God saves, which became an exclamation of praise. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. The kingdom of our father David was an earthly kingdom, and the capital city was Jerusalem. The coming kingdom of our father David was also an anticipated, a hoped for, and a prayed for, very much earthly kingdom. A kingdom independent of the Roman overlords. Jesus says nothing to this scene. As one commentator stated, Jesus' silence seems to suggest that Jesus agrees that he is the Messiah, that he, Jesus, will save, but Jesus will not save the way this crowd believes that Jesus will save. Jesus will not be an earthly king of an earthly kingdom. Remember, even Peter was not ready to accept Jesus' prediction of Jesus' death and the manner of Jesus' death. John records Pilate's question to Jesus at Jesus' trial, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus would soon say thereafter, "My kingdom is not of this world." God's agenda is not man's agenda. Man would put Jesus on an earthly throne. There would be more misunderstanding of Jesus and Jesus' mission. And that misunderstanding would come from every corner. The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin that would put him on trial, Pilate, the crowds, and even including Jesus' own disciples. The agenda of man would be broken at the cross when Jesus was crucified. And yet, in that very same moment, God's agenda, a better agenda, was fulfilled with Jesus' death upon the cross. Now, Luke's gospel book shows a short scene as Jesus approached the city that Palm Sunday, wherein Jesus began to weep for the city of Jerusalem. And Luke records Jesus' words. Notice what Jesus said, and I've always remembered the Revised Standard Version of that. Would that even today you knew the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus is saying there is a way to peace, and Jesus is saying, I am right here now, today. But even now the ways to true peace are hidden from your eyes. Jesus knew that the people's welcome and the people's expectations, the people's hopes were not the things that make for peace. But man's agenda is all that the crowd knows. The crowd were following Jesus, but they were not asking Jesus, where are you going? And Jesus' followers were not told exactly where Jesus was going and exactly what would happen. Those followers would not hear Jesus' words, and they would not accept Jesus' words. And as I've said before, even the disciples would not receive it. So man's agenda would be broken. The crowd would then turn and break Jesus. But it's the crowd's agenda that would be broken. But you and I know that the crowd's agenda would be superseded. The crowd's agenda would be taken over. The crowd's agenda would be second to first place of God's agenda. Jesus would not bring the kingdom of David. Jesus would bring the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would restore God's children. The prophet Jeremiah spoke of it. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That's God's agenda. But what happens when our agenda does not seem to be God's agenda? Even if you're a believer, we make plans, we have hopes or dreams. We might even think that they are God-given. The crowd that Sunday we call Palm Sunday, they probably thought they were on God's agenda. Here comes the leader of David's restored kingdom. Jesus is coming to claim his rightful place and make the bad Romans go away. But that isn't what Jesus came to do. We make plans. We have hopes or dreams. We might even think that they are God-given, but life doesn't happen the way we think, or things don't turn out the way we thought they were supposed to. What then? Well, the disciples had the same questions. Even the Apostle Paul had to wrestle with that same question. So it's okay to ask questions. Remember, our Lord Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, watch. And this is where the rubber hits the road from the Bible today. Many other people have wrestled with these same questions and have shared their wisdom. Remember, the apostle Simon Peter did not like what Jesus said about what would happen in the city of Jerusalem, Jesus' arrest and death. Peter did not have God's perspective. And because of that, Peter just could not hear or grasp what Jesus was saying. Peter even opposed Jesus' word. Now, Warren Wiersbe, a faithful author and teacher whose works we have used here at Daleville Christian Church, said, "When we hurt, when plans fail, or illness comes, or pain comes and stays, we don't really need an explanation from God. We need a revelation from God. We need to see God's view. We need to get God's perspective. We need to recover a perspective we've lost." I've shared with you before, I applied to go to seminary. But how could it go wrong? God wanted it. I wanted it. I had friends going. But then the letter came and said, I wasn't going to that seminary. I was going to another seminary. I couldn't see God's perspective, that it wasn't better or worse. It was just different, that the Lord had me on a different path, although a path without my friends. I recently finished a book by Dr. Mary Neal. You may have heard of her. She wrote a book in 2011 called To Heaven and Back. I won't tell you her whole experience, but she was in a kayak accident and was underwater for over half an hour. She survived with no brain damage, but she saw things during that time she was underwater. She saw heaven, she says. But she says that the real things that she learned was having a God perspective on our lives. God has a plan. God has a plan for all of us. She writes, God created us, God knows us, God loves us, and God guides us. And I haven't mentioned that this woman lost her 19-year-old son a few years after her accident. But she wrote, rejoice in this knowledge always, that God created us, God knows us, God loves us, and God guides us. Let me leave you with David Ring's testimony. David Ring was born with cerebral palsy, was orphaned at 14 years of age. That was after his mother died of cancer. His father had died 3 years earlier. Years later, he gave his life to Christ. As you might guess, his parents' deaths and his condition left him depressed, even suicidal. But giving himself to the Lord, he felt called to preach. There were those who tried to discourage him from this path, but he was certain it was the Lord's guidance. And I don't know how much you might know about cerebral palsy, but it does affect the speech. One does not speak clearly with cerebral palsy. And mind you, the Lord did not heal David Ring, but the Lord called David Ring. And David decided to persevere. Despite his slurred speech, he now speaks to thousands of people a year. He has his own website, and videos are available on YouTube. When Pastor David Ring talks about obstacles that he has overcome, he asks, "I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem?" In a devotional I'm reviewing now, it says, "No one knows why illness comes crashing uninvited into our lives. No one knows why their plans, hopes, dreams, and work don't work." David Ring asks the questions, "If God loves me, why did I lose my father? If God loves me, why did I lose my mother? If God loved me, why was I born crippled?" There are reasons why we are called to suffer. We don't know why, but it is fully and completely within God's knowledge alone. David Ring said that eventually he stopped asking why and began asking the question, "What? What, Lord, do you want me to do?" David Ring says, "I have cerebral palsy, but cerebral palsy don't have me." Friends, that crowd in Jerusalem so long ago was disappointed. Later that week, they were so disappointed that they became angry and hateful. They were pushed to call for Jesus' crucifixion. But you and I know the whole story. Some 53 days later, thousands would decide for God's plans. Thousands would decide for God's agenda, their redemption, and they would call Jesus' name as Savior. Some of those Jews in Jerusalem thought as they waved palm branches that they were welcoming God's plan into their lives, but they didn't have Jesus' perspective. They didn't have God's perspective. Even the disciples would have to suffer terrible disappointment, a broken relationship with Jesus, and grieve his death before they were welcomed and restored by the risen Christ. God has a plan. God has an agenda. We read some of it right here in God's Word. To give up from grief or disappointment is called resignation. You and I are not called to be resigned to God's will. We are called to be faithful to God's will. There is a difference. Faithfulness is believing God and believing God's promise. Faithfulness is believing in God's agenda. Faithfulness is believing in God's agenda and being a part of God's agenda. Faithfulness is being active and signing on for God's agenda. Resignation is giving up. Faithfulness is, well, having faith. God has a plan. God has an agenda. We read some of it right here in God's Word. Let us get God's perspective. Let's have God's agenda take precedent. Let's have God's agenda take first place. Give the Lord your agenda. Let the Lord bless you with His agenda. Amen.